Just want to have this opportunity as I am standing up here, but just to say thank you so much for all your messages and just being here and being part of this family. You are our family, and I just am so grateful, and I feel so overwhelmed with the support and just the messages, and it's a massive shock, and we're just processing it all, but I know that, like it's been said, God is good, and he has a plan. And if you can pray for anything, my longing is that we see salvation in the community, that we can be a shining light in the situation to our neighbours, to people that the relationships have just, even this last, over the what happened, has accelerated beyond years of us being in that house. And I just see it as such an opportunity for God just to come in and for us to help shine his love and his light. So if you could just pray that there's a softness of hearts, the conversations we have, that we just, Jesus would just be on our lips in all of this. It's still a rubbish situation that hasn't changed, but Jesus is our hope. And there's people next door to us in places that just don't understand that and don't have that hope, but we do. So if that's the one thing you could pray for, that would be amazing. Like, oh, testimony that we, people come to this church because of what's happened, you know, like it's just, yeah. Anyway, it is, a real privilege of you to actually stand and share God's word with you this morning. Me and Ruth are doing it together, so we're going to be in a bit in tandem. And before all this happened, we felt we wanted to talk about trusting in Jesus, and that's what we're going to be talking about through the Holy Spirit. And I really want you guys to be expectant for what God wants to speak to you about. When me and Ruth had time just to prepare this beforehand, God shared a story with me from the Bible that I felt was right to bring, and Ruth, I was one story, and Ruth was another. And then when we went to the passages, the stories are right next to each other in the Bible, in Matthew, which is where we're going to be talking from this morning. I was like, God, okay, you're really speaking. And then I went to the prayer meet on Tuesday, and the prayers that were being prayed were prayers of practically our preach. So I was like, God, yes, come on. And then Thursday happened when me and Ruth were going to spend the day praying and getting it all down on paper. So that obviously didn't happen. But here we were last night and till midnight, just talking and praying for this preach. And we are so expectant. And I want you guys to be expectant. God wants to say something to you this morning. God wants to do something this morning. And I really pray that you have really soft hearts to receive what might be a bit of a jumble in places, but something that actually the truth will just come and speak right to your hearts. As we look at the Bible, which is a really good place to be in. So, can I just pray? I know you've prayed a lot, but it's really good to pray. Lord, I pray that you would really speak to us this morning. I pray, would you move in power? Lord, I pray that we would be changed from looking at your truth and looking at your word this morning, that we would go out and just feel changed and challenged by what you have to say. Lord, I pray you'd speak through me and Ruth. It's not our words, but your words, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, would you just come right now, Father? Holy Spirit, come. Meet with us even now. It's not the end of the preach. Lord, you can meet us now, right in this moment. So we just ask for your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. It says in Romans, maybe a few Bible passages, if you don't have your Bible, it should come up on the screen. If not, don't worry, I'll read it. But it says in Romans 8, here it goes, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we have children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This passage, it talks about us. If we have chosen to follow Jesus, we are adopted into his family. We are his sons and his daughters. We are heirs. We are God's children. Do we believe that this morning? We have so much inheritance in him, in his kingdom. We are not of man, of Adam, we have come into God's family. We have a relationship with him, and we are his sons and daughters. He is our father. He is the one who loves us, cares for us, has accepted us in. We are not orphans no more. We are his children. We are no slaves no more. We are his children. We have come into his family. I just love that. I just think it's such a good place to start. We can cry, Abba, Father. He is our father. He is the one who has saved us, that we then share in his glory at the end. We are children of God, that we may also be glorified with him. That's who we are. That's who we are, church. We are followers of Jesus. That's who we are. We belong to him. And sometimes we might not feel like that. Sometimes we might think that's not the case. Unbelief might creep in. But actually, it's true. It's what the Bible says. We are his children. It doesn't matter about our feelings. Or when we come to Jesus, it doesn't matter how we feel. It is truth. And we have the power to walk in that, into that truth, through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit testifies to us that truth, that we can enable us to walk and believe in what he has said, that he is our Father. It's by his Spirit that helps us to believe that. So, let's get into those passages that we, me and Ruth, felt that we wanted to talk about this morning. So if you want to turn to Matthew 14, verse 13, we're just going to look at this, about what it is to have a relationship. If we believe that Jesus is our Father, that he is our Father, that we are his sons and daughters, that relationship requires trust. And so we're going to look at this morning what it is to trust in him fully, wholeheartedly, no matter what our circumstances are, that we trust in him. So we're going to look at that. So we're going to go to the story, which I love, and probably a lot of you know these stories already, but we're just going to go through it verse by verse and just go through it quite simply, and just draw some things out about what me and Ruth have felt through these passages. So it's the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus is there with the crowds, and he feeds 5,000 people with just a very small amount. So it says in verse 13, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself." So just before this passage, it talks about how Paul had died, and he got beheaded by Herod, because that's what something that his daughter wanted. So here is Jesus in grief, in his circumstances just of loss, and he withdraws to a desolate place. Then it says, "But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick." I just love that even though Jesus probably had a lot of emotion, a lot of a grief, he had just lost one of his family members, that he comes and he still had compassion. And out of that kind of place of grief and circumstance, he still went and healed their sick. Miracles still happened. So you see this amazing comparison of like a really hard thing and then a miracle, which, yes, amen to that. And then he says in verse 15, "Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.'" So here are the disciples. They've got the crowds in front of them. And I can imagine they're talking, thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They've come. They've seen Jesus. What are we going to do? We've got to feed all these people. What are we going to do? So they go away and they make up this plan. They come to Jesus, don't they? And they say, they come to him and say, "The day is now over. Send the crowds away." So the disciples are telling Jesus, "Send the crowds away. Go into the villages and they can just buy food for themselves. We don't need to worry about this. Just they need to go." And they came to Jesus with that plan. But then Jesus was like, no. Don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And it just made us think, how often when we come to Jesus, do we come up with our own plans and our own kind of concoction of, okay, well, this is obviously in the natural. You'll see there's all these people and they need feeding and it's getting late and there's probably children who are hungry. So in the natural, of course, that to them might have seemed quite a logical solution. But Jesus was like, no. Actually, and we know what happens after this, but no, come, get them to come here, and we'll provide. So I'm thinking, what really? That was such a good plan. That would have solved everything, you know? And I just wonder how often we come with our plans when we see these situations or things that we're like, oh my goodness, how is this going to work out? What's going to happen? Do we come to Jesus with our kind of solution? And it says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And this bit, you give them something to eat. Jesus didn't say, okay, I'll solve this one. Don't worry, guys, disciples. It's okay. You know, off you go. I'll sort this one out. He turned it back to them and said, you give them something to eat. So suddenly the disciples are in this conversation of what the natural of what the disciples said, their solution. And then Jesus involved them in that solution, said, but you give them something to eat. So I'm thinking, what? Seriously, we had a plan and then you're telling us this. And then what do you want us to do? Obviously, I'm elaborating that a bit, but you know, sometimes it's really cool just to see us, you know, sometimes in these situations and these things, it kind of brings it to life a bit. And they said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. So they just, obviously they've gone to the boy, they've got the 5 loaves and the fish, and they've just thinking, well, this is all we have. This is it. Is this it? Like, this is a small amount. And again, I wonder when we think about Jesus and our relationship with him, and sometimes we can feel like we have nothing. What is there? Like, I just have this, or, oh, I just got this small amount, or I might just have this small gifting, or my situation just looks bleak, or this. It just feels like nothing in comparison to the situation that's going on. Unbelief can really creep in, can't it? Unbelief can just come in so easily when we think of these things and we look to Jesus and we want to trust in him. Unbelief is so there sometimes, because as we're in the natural, things can feel like that there's this circumstance. What do we do? But then he says, come, I love this. Bring them here to me. There's such an invitation of Jesus. Come here to me. Just bring all that you have. Doesn't matter about all this. Come to me. Bring what there is. And just, that's what Jesus wants from us. Even in the small that we might have, even in our unbelief, even I think, I don't pray very well. Actually, do I even love Jesus? Even in that small, God can take that. He says, bring it to me. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to, in the trusting in him, that's what he wants. Just that. He's not asking for us to do the miracle. He just wants that. He wants us to come. It's such an invitation for us. So then he ordered the crowds, verse 19, to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. So there Jesus is with the disciples on the grass with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. So there is, again, the disciples thinking, that's not much. Like, we're still here. We've still got the problem. We've still got these 5 loaves and fishes. And what does Jesus do? He thanks and looks up to heaven. He knew what even that small amount came from. There was a gratitude in his heart. There was a praise, a thankfulness, even in that small amount. The praise didn't come after the miracle happened. It happened in that moment at the start. When all they felt was a lack of, there was thankfulness. There was, okay, God, you've given us this. This is it. This is thank you for what we have. And I tell you what, I'm trying to teach that to my kids in this season, in this time. I'm like, we had a conversation when it all happened and it felt like everything, just watching this building and all my, everything just go. I was like, we've got a house. Our neighbours have put a house on our head. We have clothes. We've got family and even somewhere to go to that we were able to go straight away on that night. And I said, we sat around the table, didn't we? And we said, what are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for? And we just went around and just shared the small things in comparison to what we felt like we've really lost. But thankfulness is so important in times of grief and trouble. Just generally, even if you feel like you've got loads, it's such a key thing. And knowing where it comes from, you know, we have so much. We have so much in him. So then he said, he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. So again, he involved the disciples in the process. Jesus said, right, don't worry, guys, I've got this. I'm going to take it round. Don't worry, it's okay. Disciples, just sit there and watch what I'm about to do. No, Jesus involved them in the process of delivering and giving out these bread and these fishes to the crowd. I love that. That's a relationship. There's that. Jesus doesn't just say, right, I've got this, I'm going to do this miracle and I'm going to go off and do it myself. No, he involves us. He wants to include us. It's about relationship with him. That's what trust is. And when we trust in him, it's so amazing. He's so loving and kind. And then they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. So this is verse 20. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. They were satisfied. Jesus did that miracle. And I love this bit. They took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Left over? There was only the small amount at the start. So Jesus invited them into this relationship in this moment, did the miracle and said, there's abundance, there's more, there's more, there's so much more for you. Isn't that so beautiful? Like in him, as we are his children, there is so much more for us, so much more that he wants to give us and bless us with. Even in the small amount, he did the miracle, and then there was more. I love that. It should raise faith in our hearts and just like an expectancy of what God can do. And then verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So there is done the miracle with the disciples, and immediately afterwards, he tells the disciples, get into the boat, go off in the boat, send them to, it's probably Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, go before him to the other side when he dismissed the crowds. So Jesus got rid of the crowds. And he went on up to the mountain to himself to pray. So at the start of this, we see that Jesus took time to pray. At the start, he went and had that moment of prayer and solitude with his Father. And then mounted by himself to pray. Prayer is so important in all this, isn't it? Prayer is so important. Taking time with our Father. Spending time in that place of solitude, of quietness, of stillness before him. And I wonder, because of that, Jesus was then able to do the miracles because he knew who his Father was. He knew who his Father was. And then by that point, the boat was right in the depths of the water, in the middle of the water because of the crashing of the waves, and the disciples were on the boat and they were in the middle of the sea in the depths. And Jesus saw them. At that point, Ruth, do you want to take on the next story?
Thank you, Sarah. It's such an epic story, isn't it? I think we've got so excited as we've been looking at it and having to really cut down what we say, because there's just so much in there, and it's I think the things that with the two stories as well, what we've been picking out of both of them, it's like the same thing. So probably what I'm going to say isn't necessarily different to what Sarah says. It's just building, and I think just emphasizing what God wants to say to us today. So the disciples are in the middle of the lake. They're in the deepest point, and then we read verses 25 to 27. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So we almost like skip over the next miracle there where Jesus is walking on the sea. Like, that is not normal. It's not in the natural. Let's acknowledge that. So it's kind of, maybe you're like, yes, I can understand why the disciples are petrified, why they're like, they're terrified, they're tired, they've been there, you know, all day doing stuff with Jesus, and now they're in the middle of a storm and there's someone coming towards them and they say, it must be a ghost. So I love that they don't, you know, there's still that expectancy of the supernatural. They're thinking it's a ghost. But even after they've just witnessed Jesus do this incredible miracle, they're not expecting Jesus to be the one on the sea. And just kind of, we're just struck by how What is our expectancy of Jesus? Like, is our vision of Jesus big enough for him to turn up in unexpected places in the middle of our storms? Are we surprised when Jesus is there, doing miracles where we are and when we're afraid? Actually, Jesus comes towards us, and there's no real reason why Jesus is choosing to walk towards them on the water. But I think he's just showing another facet of who he is as the Son of God. And again, just revealing himself to his disciples in another way. Does it surprise us that Jesus shows up in our storms? Because it shouldn't. He promises to be with us. And then he acknowledges their fear and he reassures them and says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And just in between those two kind of commands to not be afraid, there's the, "It is I." And the only reason that is reassuring, because it's Jesus saying it, is that what he is saying, "It is I, don't be afraid." That is why they can take that and be like, "Oh, this is so good." Like the verses Sarah read at the beginning about, those who are led by the Spirit of the God, by God, are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. And there's that reassurance when we know who God is, we don't need to fear. I was just thinking, like, when I was younger, I grew up on a farm and there's some, like, bales in the barn of straw, and we'd love to climb them, go up this ladder, be like almost as tall as this building. And we'd go up fine, and then getting down and be like, "Oh no." And I wouldn't come down unless it was my dad holding the ladder at the bottom, because I knew if he said, "It's all right, I've got it," I was okay. Even if I was still scared, I'd come down. Anyone else, it's like, I don't really trust that you actually mean that. But I think it's that same thing. When we know that God is our Father and he says, "It's me, don't be afraid," we can actually take that seriously. So then verses 28 and 29. "And Peter answered, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus." And Peter, if you've read any of the other gospels, he's very much bold in there. "I want to be there. I want to be doing that. This isn't how I am, so I struggle to relate." But he doesn't jump straight into the water. He says, "Good, if it's you, invite me in." And I think that's how we should be going about our lives as well. Like, if we sense there's something happening, "God, is that you? Will you invite me into what you're doing?" Whether that's in your work, whether that's with your neighbors, or you see things happening. Like, I want to be where Jesus is. I want to be where the miracles are happening. My temperament is probably, I want to just see if that's safe. But actually, God calls us to, like, join him. Again, that thing of partnering with him. He's not there just doing it by himself and we watch. God wants to partner with us. And there's an invitation there, just that simple word, "Come." And it's into the mystery and the unknown. Remember, they're in the middle of the lake. It's deep. Peter's a strong swimmer. Read that in other stories. But right now, he's only going to stay on top of the water if Jesus makes it happen. So he's got to choose. Do I make that step of faith? Do I get out of the boat? Do I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Because that's the only thing that's going to make him get out of the boat onto the water. And it should be so exciting to us that the God of the universe calls us to partner with him. Not because he needs us. We don't have much to offer. Like with the bread and the fish, we come with our pitiful amount, thinking that's never going to feed 5,000. And he's like, "Well, no, it's not. You know, only if you bring it to me, the Holy Spirit then can do the miracle." But he does choose to partner with us. And Mike preached on God's glorious church, which if you didn't hear that, go and listen to it, because that's just so exciting about what we're called to be as the church. But he does invite us into his plans and his purposes. And he sends us, broken as we are, but out into a broken world, bringing a message of life and hope and peace because of what he's done of us. So he invites us, but it's up to us whether we go. It's up to us whether we actually get out of the boat, whether we say yes. And whether we say, "Yes, I want to be part of that life of miracles. I want to take that step of faith." Not because of anything I've got to offer, but because of who God is. So he does the impossible and he walks on the water too. Again, just another miracle. He's completely throwing his full weight on Jesus. And Jesus delivers. Verses 30 to 31. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, that things start to go pear-shaped. We cannot have one eye on Jesus and one eye on the world and our circumstances and things that come up. We cannot put half our hope in Jesus, half our hope in ourselves or circumstances. It just doesn't work. So as soon as he took his eyes off, he starts to wobble. I'm a cyclist, and if you're a cyclist, and there's a few, when you're cycling in London, there's narrow gaps you have to get through. And I've learned, hard way, that if you look at the stuff either side of you, you begin to wobble. If you look at that narrow gap, you have to look straight ahead, not worry about the bus, and just go. And that's when you stay like sure. Same like tightrope walking, you know, you have to fix your eyes on a point in the distance that's not moving, even if you really want to look down. I've not done tightrope walking, so I can't relate. And Jesus is our unmovable, sure, certain focus point in the distance. He's the one who we fix our eyes on, and he says, you will not fall if you keep focused on me. There's a quote by a guy called Dallas Willard who says, the first and most basic thing we can and must do is to keep God before our minds. David knew this secret and wrote, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. It was in Peter's doubt and his lack of faith that Jesus rebuked. That was the thing. He doesn't rebuke the disciples in the boat. He didn't even do anything. He's like, why did you doubt? Yeah, which is really challenging because I think we often feel like that's excusable, surely. Have you seen what's happening? There's always circumstances. There's things coming up. There's always sickness. There's distraction. There's things in our lives that's going to come and want us to take our eyes off Jesus. And maybe we think, well, yeah, that's justifiable. Like, have you seen what's happening? I mean, just even this week, you know, a house fire. Surely that's justifiable reason to actually focus on that. But just think how Luke and Sarah are like, no, eyes on Jesus. He's the only one who's got us here. And it's like, that is the reality of our lives. So we're all gonna face that. And I think if you're in that situation where you're like, I'm just clinging on right now, I just so encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. That is all you can do and actually all he asks us to do. Lost where I am. And Peter cries out for Jesus to save him, and he does. And just be encouraged. Jesus is still in the business of saving today. He saved Peter from the storms. He saves us from our immediate situations. Sometimes he just steps in the boat with us. Jumping to another story, but he also saves us when we believe in him from an eternity without him. He saves us from our sin. He saves us from death because of the cross. We have such a hope. So he's still in the business of saving today. And then verse 32 and verse 33. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. There's such a peace that comes when we're with Jesus. It's another miracle, just another one thrown in there, that the wind and the waves stop. Didn't stop straight away, but it does at that point. And then they recognize Jesus for who he really was. And they worship him, saying, you are the Son of God. This is what we've been singing about this morning, like, we're made to glorify God. Like, that is the point. And I think when we stand before God at the end of our days, we give an account of how we've lived. Have we lived in a way that brings glory to him? Have we lived in a way that is marked by faith, where others then recognize Jesus in us, and they see that in us? And when I read stories like this, I often think it would just be so much easier if Jesus was here, like right now, surely. If he was the one saying, come, I would come. But actually, Jesus promises that he says, I need to go so that I can send my helper, the Holy Spirit, and that will be better for you. Because we can all then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, when we have a relationship with Jesus, we all can experience this. What he models to his disciples, what he shows them, that's what we are filled with when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He reassures us. He points us to Jesus. He gives us courage, fills us with God's power so that we can go out and do the miracles in the name of Jesus. And even greater things Jesus promises. There's a lot that he's promising us. He gives us courage to follow him out of the boat, to be courageous and have faith and live a life of abundance and miracles. That's kind of characterized by these two stories, is that it's not normal life with Jesus. So are you ready for that adventure? There's going to be abundance. John 10 verse 10, I can't remember, it's on the screen. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That is our promise in Jesus, right? Again, the enemy's out to rob us, but Jesus promises life always. And he is continuously inviting us into this. This isn't a one-off invite. He's going to be whispering to you in different ways, in different situations, drawing us into what he's doing, wanting to partner with us. Like I said earlier, it's not a command. It's an invitation. It's, do you want to be there? The other disciples aren't mentioned. There's no rebuke for them. We don't know why they didn't get out as well. Maybe it was unbelief. Maybe it was fear. Maybe, I don't know. You can't read into it, but... Actually, when Jesus says, come, are we going to step out of the boat and follow him? There's other invitations as well throughout scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come, follow me, take up your cross, follow me. Come to me, all who are thirsty. There's so many invitations. It's not about doing, it's about the relationship with Jesus. If we've got that relationship with him, and there's the trust there, and he says, come, are we wanting to go? Are we expectant? Or are we sticking close to the shore, playing it safe, relying on our own strength and our own plans when actually it's about what he wants to do? I'm just going to hand back over to Sarah as we come to close.
We've got 10 minutes left, and we just, even from the start when we were preparing this, we just really wanted to create some space of time of just praying and responding. I think in all of this, life is a battle, isn't it? And the devil doesn't want us to get out of the boat. He doesn't want us to make that step of courage or of trusting in him. He will put anything in our minds. The lies of the enemy are so there all the time. I feel like I have to fight them all the time, you know, insecurities. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. But that person has more. So what's the point? Should I even bother? This is too much for me. I can't do this. I've been living like with this all my life for years and years. I'll just carry on living like this and not have freedom. And we just want to pray for a couple of things, but things that just prevent us maybe from just stepping out in faith, those things that come in, the fear, the shame, even the unbelief of God won't do that. He's not going to do that. but he wants a relationship with us, doesn't he? And, so, I wonder if we could just stand. Do you mind playing for a bit? Just why don't we just even now, just you know your Father, if your relationship with Jesus, you just for you to come before him and just to say, here I am, here I am. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the situations you're walking through. He knows your feelings. He knows those things you doubt. The things that you have gripped you for years. The fears. You are his child and he loves you. And he wants you to see freedom from those things that might hinder us from trusting in him, from stepping out of the boat into a life of a real abundance and a faith and an adventure. So just bring those things to him now. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come, Lord. And if there's some things in your heart that you're like, yeah, there is that just really gets in the way. It might even be sin. There's things there that you just think, oh, I've just been carrying that. Just feels, I know that. Or lies that it just kind of, you just, yeah, I'm really believing that lie. And it's not of Jesus. I just wonder if that is you, whether you could just step out and come to the front. I know sometimes we don't normally do this, but just feel there's something about how Peter stepped out of the boat and there was that acknowledgement, I'm looking to Jesus, he was looking to Jesus. And if that's you and you just want some prayer, and you want to see freedom in your life from these things that feel like hinder you, that some things you may not even said to anyone before, but actually I just ask you even now, if you just want to step forward, come to the front, and we'll just have some people to pray for you. Leave some space to do that.
helper. I thank you, Lord, that we are your children, that we are adopted into your family. And Lord, I thank you that we can look to you, Jesus, and trust in you. And I just pray, Lord, would you just come and do a work in those that have just come forward. I pray, Holy Spirit, for freedom, Lord, for freedom from these things that have just hindered and just almost been like chains that have just hindered from stepping out in the things of you. That these people just feel like, I want to do that, God, I know you're calling me to that, but I can't do that, I can't get out of the boat. I just pray for freedom right now, Holy Spirit. Lord, freedom, more freedom, Lord. I thank you that we are your children. And Lord, we don't need to be bound by these things that grip us, these fears. I pray for, Lord, that you would just give courage and your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you can move in power and you can do things in an instant. So I just pray freedom across this room right now, Lord. Even those that may have not come forward, the struggles, things that are there, Holy Spirit, come and do a work. I thank you that you're a gentle Father and that your love is kind. Thank you, Lord. I just pray things would just be broken off in the name of Jesus. Almost that, oh, you know, you have to have months of praying and doing, and no, God just wants, I feel, just wants to come right now and just break things off in Jesus' name. Freedom, Lord.
The other thing we felt was just wanting to pray for people who are actually, I know that God is whispering that come to me. He's whispering an invitation, whatever that looks like. It might be to come deeper into relationship with him. It might be to be more vulnerable with him and to trust him as a father. It might be there's a specific situation or circumstance where you're like, I need to get out of the boat. I need to do that thing that God's been inviting me into. And I've kind of, maybe it's one of these reasons. Maybe it's just passive and not just watching. I don't know what it is, but if you want to take a step of faith and you're like, right, I want to say yes to Jesus in whatever way that is, I want to step into more of that abundance that he's got for us, I just want to say yes, whatever it is, again, would you come forward? I think there's nothing special about the place at the front. It's just that kind of declaration physically and practically that I'm saying yes. I want to do that. So again, come forward. I'll just pray again over you. Yeah, Father, I thank you so much that you call us into partnership with you. I thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit that is calling us to that beautiful partnership, Lord. Thank you that even though we have so little to offer and we are so weak and broken, Lord, that you say, oh, just bring it to me, just come. And Lord, yeah, we just want more of that, Lord. And I pray for those who are, yeah, just taking that step now. I know I need it, Lord, who need your courage, who need your boldness, who want to step into that life of more with you, Lord, of life to the full. I just pray that you would give them all that they need, Lord. I pray that you would fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd go with them, that this wouldn't feel like another thing to do, but just, it's just, I'm switching how I view things. I'm expectant that God is going to use me just where I am. He'll give me every ounce of energy I need, everything of strength, Lord. He'll take my weakness and he will give me his strength, Lord. I thank you that you promised that, and I just pray that over us as a church today. Thank you that you've called us to great things as a church, Lord, and we want to step into those things, Lord. We don't want to let fear get in the way. We want to say yes to you. Thank you, Father.
I just felt the Holy Spirit say that it might be for one person or maybe for more, but just listening to that lie that I'm insignificant, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not enough, that I haven't got anything to offer, just carrying that lie and that's not of God. You're his child. You are so dearly loved, and he has made you who you are and given you gifts and things to advance the kingdom, to this church, this area. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, if that is for anyone, specifically, Lord, I just pray, would you come, Holy Spirit, and just break off that lie and replace it with your truth of what you think of them, Lord, of what you have given them, the gifts and the abilities. Thank you, Lord, that you want to advance your kingdom, that you want us to step out so that we can move into all that you've got for us, and that can bring so much hope and glory to your name. And I just pray, would you again help us to throw off anything that might hinder us from that.